I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum weed. I'm back in the saddle.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets practical and personal, here on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your... Well, welcome. We're back here in wonderful... wonderful New York, New Rochelle, New York. And my name is Dr. John Tantillo, and I'm here with my partner, TJ McCormick, and we're going to have an hour of the most stimulating content when it comes to talking about brands, and whether or not you're talking about your personal brand, your business brand, or your career brand. Here at Brand Talk, it's all about branding. And I just feel so happy to be back.
Are those guys great?
Those guys, I'm telling you, they are. They really make you feel young.
It's a great team here.
It's a great team. I'm just so happy to be back. I had, you know, among us.
Mm-hmm. It's just us talking.
It's just us talking. I had mentioned that I needed a little mental health. I needed some mental health. Time,
right.
And everybody got upset. What do you mean, you know, mental health? Something wrong? Well, no, I'm a psychologist by training, and every once in a while, and I guess it's my religious background too. Mm-hmm. You know, being in the monks for 4.5 years.
Right.
What you would do is do a retreat. About every year, you would do your retreat and just go away, and not go on vacation, but just go away and recollect your thoughts and think about your brand. You think about others in your life and you regroup. And that's what we did here.
Mm-hmm.
And you were away in sunny old England.
Yeah. And actually, it was sunny.
I can't believe it.
I had an amazing 2 weeks of sunshine and 70 degree days in England and in Ireland.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
That is great. Yeah, well, by the way, what we're going to talk about, we're here at Brand Talk, the show is broken up into different segments. One is our brand winner and loser, and I have a number of winners today, and maybe one or two losers. But and TJ always, you know, helps me out on that. And then for those of you who are new to the show, we have another one of TJ's favorites.
Yes.
Did you know that? And, you know, did you know that is this, you know, when I used to go to cocktail parties, one of the great things you would want to do is give these interesting little tidbits that people would say, I did not know that.
Yeah.
You know,
as a matter of fact, I even call that cocktail party knowledge. That's what I refer to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're going to do that. Of course, the whole idea is callers. By the way, you're listening to WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And if you'd like to give us a call, and I have a question that's going to come up, but let me give you the number first. 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Or if you're email inclined, that's doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. And so my question there, TJ, and for our listeners in VOX land and beyond the cosmos, is whether or not... I stomped on my line here, but here we go. What attracts you to a brand? Is it the packaging? Is it the name? Is it the features? Or hint, hint, it's the Tantillion idea. Is it the benefits? Mm-hmm. Okay? That's really what branding and marketing is all about, benefits. The other stuff is good. But it's not about me. It's about my listeners. It's you out there. We want you to give us a call at 914-636-0110 and to give us an idea of what you think are the most important things about a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, next week I have a very, very special guest, Tony LoBianco. And Tony LoBianco serves... two functions. First of all, when I was, I might have mentioned this, and please forgive me if I repeated this, but I saw him in the late 70s in a movie called Blood Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a graduate student. I think I had just graduated, just got my PhD. I was teaching at Hofstra University. And I had just gotten my PhD, and I'm a blue-collar guy. I grew up in a very blue-collar union household, and I was the first to get an advanced degree. Not a bachelor's degree, but I actually got my PhD. And I saw this movie called Blood Brothers, and Tony LoBianco was in it. And basically, it was about this blue-collar guy that has a decision to make, whether or not he can join the union and be an electrician like his dad, or go out to be a social worker, which he really wanted to be, which is very similar to what I was doing, going for my degree in psychology. So anyway, fast forward 30 years or 30X years, and who do I meet at this at an event that you're doing, TJ? Mm-hmm. You were doing one of your stand-up shows. I meet Tony LoBianco.
Right.
And I mentioned what sort of an effect this man had on my life as the father in this play. And the man couldn't have been more charming. And she said, you know, that was such a great movie. Richard Gere was such a dream to work with. What a great, generous guy. He went off. It was just such a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the little bit of background about Tony LoBianco.
Right.
He's doing a play of one of my favorite characters of all time, Fiorello LaGuardia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I was toying, and not too many people know this, and it might be somewhat too self-promotional, and my mother probably, God rest her soul, is probably in heaven right now, we think, saying, Johnny, you shouldn't be saying this. But they compared me to the little flower, that I was this
really?
Kind of eccentric kind of guy, and they were anyway.
Oh, I love
so to
that.
Make a long story short, he's playing this adorable character called LaGuardia, and they called it, he was known as the Little Flower, and I believe he used to wear a carnation in his lapel.
Yes.
So anyway, he's going to be doing this starting in October and running through November in a off-Broadway venue, and we're going to talk to him about that, and I just can't wait. It starts, by the way, on October 23rd and goes through November 2nd at 184 East 76th Street between 3rd and Lexington Avenue. So anyway, I'm very, very excited about that. So that should
love
be
it.
That should be really, really, really good. And you know, talking a little bit about please, folks, I use myself not to talk about myself as much as to get you in on the journey that got me to where I am today. And, you know, when I first started out, where there's a lot of folks are there, you really don't have a marketing plan. And I probably should have done some things differently, and I didn't. And here goes, you know, one of Tantillo's takeaways, which is experience always trumps intelligence. I was always a very smart guy, but I wasn't necessarily a very, very streetwise guy.
Okay.
But I was able to get through the street, but I would, you know, I would do things that were not promote my brand as I should have done.
Interesting.
Because I was a do-gooder, or
right.
I wanted to do the right thing.
Right.
And not that I should have done the wrong thing. I should have been a little bit savvier. And that's what we do here.
A little bit more finesse.
A little bit
more finesse. While looking out for numero uno.
Yes. Yes. And one of the things that I did learn at a very early age in my professional development, and this is something that I think still sticks with me, and why I think I do a good, solid radio show, is I was having lunch with a friend of mine who said, you know what, John? He's Australian. God, what a wonderful man. Gary Bennett, he lives in Australia, and he said to me, you know, John, your strongest suit is that you listen to people.
Hmm.
You know, I guess that was training of being a psychologist.
Sure,
I think that was training of being a Franciscan brother.
How perceptive.
And I never really believed it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and that's why it's the experience. That's why I say it's the experience. I was always got great marks, but I didn't quite believe it. And what we want to do here on Brand Talk is to reinforce those brand characteristics and for you to be yourself. Because there was another time when I wasn't I wanted to be a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be this animated, jovial kind of person. Right. I wanted to be something that I wasn't.
Wow.
And it's all of these things that it took my present age for it to all come together, and why I believe that I am at a really good point in my life. And what I want to do is let other people know that. Yeah, TJ.
What brought about all this introspection?
The 2 weeks, the mental health time. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
So, and so what begins to happen here is that the show gets better, as opposed to just simply cranking it out.
So let's apply that to our friends who are listening.
Yes. And by the way, we're at Brand Talk on WVOX, 1460 on your AM dial.
Yeah.
This is McCormick Tantillo, and we want to hear from you, 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110.
And, you know, I'm in a constant state of introspection.
Yes.
I'm a drunk. I haven't had a drink in 7 years. I'm a sober man.
Yes.
And I'm enjoying all the gifts that sobriety has given me. And I find myself taking a mental health break about every 3 hours. And, you know, I'm wondering out there. Because, you know what? If you don't take those 2 weeks every now and then, the good doctor, if I don't take that break every once or twice a day or every other day, you know, everything else starts to suffer. And I'm wondering, you know what it is? And part of it is that we know ourselves. We know our triggers. We know what the signs are. And I'm wondering, you out there, our friends listening to the show here, what do you know yourself? Do you take the time that you need to? And this is absolutely related to what we talk about here. This is about branding. This is about, because this, I think, is a constant. This needs to be a constant through all of our lives.
Right.
Because what good is your brand if you can't apply it? What good is your brand if you can't live up to it? What good are you to yourself, to your family? You know, and I'm wondering, do you have these thoughts on your own? Do you have this conversation with yourself? Give us a call.
At 914-636-0110 or doc at brandtalkradio.com.
Yeah.
And you know, TJ, the beauty of this show is that we could talk about not only your personal brand. There might be a brand that you came in, like I spoke about last 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago with my sister, Bonomo Turkish Taffy.
Mm-hmm.
It might be, you know, and when I was a kid, Kool-Aid. mm-hmm. right? These are like grand brands, or Slip and Slide by Wham-O. Mm-hmm. You know, these were all wonderful, you know, brands that that have meaning for us. But the real what we can do here mm-hmm. on Brand Talk is that we can analyze what we can learn from these brands. What were these brands? How did these brands promote themselves?
Right.
What was it about the brand that we liked? What was the brand? What was it? What attracted us to it? Was it the commercial? And some of these commercials back in the 1960s and 70s were very, very simple, much simpler. And they were more creating a great feeling for us as opposed to, you know, talking about benefits. So mm-hmm. anyway, with that said, 914-636-0110. This is Tantillo McCormick on Brand Talk on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And with that, I had a wonderful evening last night. And once again, I guess this is what also got me going. Mm-hmm. Being somewhat introspective, I met an artist friend of mine, and back in the day, in the early 80s, I was hanging out with the artist crowd.
A-listers.
Well, no, they weren't really A-listers. They were almost A-listers.
Okay.
But I got to be honest. I mean, but I was going to the parties. I mean, okay. I was hanging out with some pretty interesting
you
folks.
You were a gadfly. You were a man about town.
I was a man about, no, there was no question about it, but I really didn't have the brand characteristics that I have today.
Wow.
Or the confidence that I have today. And so what I'm trying to say is that life and branding is a journey, mm-hmm. and it's going to take some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that when you go and brand yourself, you shouldn't be developing a fashionable side. You should be developing a style,
mm-hmm.
which will last for the rest of your life.
Mm.
It should be. And that's the importance. That's what I'm doing. So that so I go to this art show. And it was and the artist is Benoit Boussier, and he's French, and I was on East 24th Street, and his work is very, very very well done. I mean, mm-hmm. I personally, these were acrylics. I mean, I prefer the oils, but the acrylics
right.
were really, really done. And I said, you know, you should come on my show, blah blah blah. He didn't want to do that. He was typical.
Right,
typical
right,
artist
right,
kind of
right,
thing.
Right,
so
right, right.
anyway, so and there were and it wasn't a, there weren't a lot of people there. And the point I'm making mm-hmm. is that the people that were there were really people that you wanted to spend time with, that you could learn a little bit from everyone that was there. So
right.
I met a videographer. Huh. I met somebody who had a PhD in poetry, now working down on Wall Street. I mean, it was just, you know, I met an architectural engineer. It was just a lot of fun.
Hmm.
And what I'm saying is that the interaction of those folks added to my brand, made me come out and interact more and be what I, be myself. It
mm-hmm.
was just wonderful. And then, of course, what happened is I met another artist friend of mine who I hadn't seen in about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Mark Wiener, and I might be going to his event and tonight
mm-hmm.
On the West Side at his studio. And the point of all of this, once again, is the importance of you as a brand interacting with others so that your brand becomes stronger.
Hmm.
And it does, and you what it's a combination of going to the mountain
mm-hmm.
and then also going out into the arena. The mountain and the arena.
Wow.
The mountain and the arena. That's so. Anyway, how do you feel about that? 914-636-0110. Love to hear from you.
And you guys can call, by the way, you know, really about anything that we're talking about here, anything that you think is pertinent to the notion of branding. And again, if you're new to the show, we've been gone for a couple of weeks. Fixing our minds. I did my mind fixing in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
And what a treat for a sober guy to go to Dublin and just watch all the people drink the lovely Guinness. Oy vey, me and my seltzer.
Does it taste that way?
Well, I asked the guys, you know, can you, I'll take a twist of lemon. We'll make it exciting. Anyway, point being, you know, if you have anything you think is pertinent to what we talk about here, and understand too, when we talk about branding, you're hearing John talk about personal branding. It's not just, you know, a logo. It's not just, you know, a Nabisco Oreo. That's, you know, branding goes right down to the individual.
Yes.
And it's how you serve the needs of your family, your friends, your coworkers, your clients, your customers, yourself. Yourself.
Right.
And so anyway, yeah, so anything that pops up, give us a call. And especially if you feel so inclined as to give a call about what we're talking about at that moment. Anyway, take it away, John.
Okay. Well, you know, I would like to talk about the brand winner and loser. Mm. And, you know, TJ, each week I take a brand winner and loser of the last week,
right,
so that you can see who's doing a good job and who's doing a bad job. Mm-hmm. And based on that, apply the positives and the negatives. And as the psychiatrist said in a Henry Youngman skit, don't do that.
Yeah.
Or yet do that, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have two winners.
Mm-hmm.
And I had mentioned this to you. One is Jay Leno.
Hmm.
And then, of course, the Culture Kings had to remind me that was done months ago. My friend Frank, I had to remind me that it was done months ago, but it got more publicity this last week. And if you haven't seen it, Jay Leno gave back half his salary so that he could save the jobs of others. And my producer, Jonathan, in Australia, always reminds me of how difficult it is in the field that you and I are in. Mm-hmm. For you to get compensated for what you do.
Oh, yeah.
And to find out a revenue stream of doing what used to be just easy to do.
Sure.
And one of the issues, and we spoke about this, in terms of the Jay Leno situation,
mm-hmm.
And this is before Johnny Carson. I mean, Johnny Carson was the person, the high watermark in mm-hmm. in the business. But when you take a look at a Jack Parr,
uh-huh.
or a or any of the people that preceded him,
mm-hmm.
those talk show hosts, they made more modest sums of money.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this is Brand Talk on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. You're here with Tantillo and McCormick, and we're talking about brands. And the point is that there seems to be in the entertainment business, and also this could be also talked about in terms of corporate America, there's such a discrepancy between the top headliner
mm-hmm.
or the star of the movie
right.
and the other actors. What happens is that the headliner or the top actor
sure.
takes all the money from the movie
right.
so that there's no money for extras or...
Right.
Or
right.
all those other things.
Right.
So that get, you know, and I was talking to a dear friend of mine who, of course, was a Democrat who started to tell me about how it's terrible in industry, too, that in the 1950s there was a 30%, 30-to-1 ratio between mm-hmm. the highest, the executive and the worker,
mm-hmm.
and now there's 300%.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
John.
Yes.
The disparity is incredible. I spent years in Hollywood, and here's the thing. I don't have a problem with the disparity.
Right.
I think you get what you're worth.
Uh-huh.
You put Heinies in the seats.
Right.
You get the dinero.
Right.
What gets me, and Give us a call if you agree or disagree with me. Just like in all the rest of it, Democrats, pick up your telephones and give a call. I find it to be unbelievably disingenuous. The left claims to be about its most vulnerable. The left claims to be caring about the people that don't, about the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
The disparity between the haves and the have-nots in the most liberal of all environments, Hollywood, mm-hmm. is staggering, yeah. And they could not care less.
914-636-0110. How do you feel about that? Is there too much? Is our pay system a little bit too top-heavy? 914-636-0110. Now, first of all,
mm-hmm.
You know, I am of the opinion that you don't want to do legislation like this. So right. Don't. What I'm trying to do is get a discussion mm-hmm. here as to whether or not there would be a movement mm-hmm. in Fortune 500 companies so that right. they self discipline themselves. So it can't be more than 100 times or X amount of time. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a great public relations gesture to do something like that. And also to show,
close the gap.
To show, yeah, to close. Well, if it's like this, if you're going to lay off 5,000 people or keep the CEO's salary that high.
Right.
Let's be fair. You know, I'm not saying there should be a government regulation.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But there should be some sort of a...
John, I'm playing my guitar. Do you hear me? You hear me playing my guitar and that's my horn?
I can't believe
it. How do
it.
I play a horn and talk at the
we'll
same time?
We'll be back.
I'm talented.
We'll be back.
Listen to my drums.
More brand talk.
Drumming and
after
playing
the break.
Guitar. Same time.
National news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. After the U.S. ambassador and three Americans were killed at the consulate in Benghazi, Libya, an elite team of Marines protecting the U.S. embassy in Tripoli. With thousands rioting outside our embassy in Cairo, Egypt's military providing protection. Fox's Leland Vittert is there.
You can imagine the amount of anger and rage that it takes for these protesters to keep coming back again and again against these police lines, not only with rocks, but also with Molotov cocktails. So far, we have not heard of any live ammunition being fired.
Demonstrations spreading throughout the Arab world over a video that attacks the Prophet Muhammad.
Further policy accommodation is warranted to strengthen the recovery.
Fed Chief Ben Bernanke announcing more bond buying and a continuation of record low interest rates. The Dow closing up 207. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Good forecast, Westchester County in the vicinity for the evening hours, mostly clear with some patchy fog towards daybreak. Lows will fall back into the lower 60s. Some morning patchy fog, even with mostly sunny skies on Friday. Friday's highs will range into the lower 80s. Mostly cloudy Friday evening. Could be some showers through the overnight. Lows falling back into the lower 60s. Mostly sunny middle 70s on Saturday. Sunshine on Sunday. Highs will range into the middle 70s. Mostly sunny on Monday, middle 70. I'm Steve Pelletieri, Jr. 24 WVUX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Fair skies, 70.
The Bronx, and now the world on WVOX.com.
The sound of power.
Have your own radio show. Call David O'Shaughnessy for availabilities. 914-636-1460.
1460 WVOX.
Hey, we're back here. Brand Talk. This is Dr. John Tantillo and TJ McCormick talking about brands. And we were right in the middle of talking about Jay Leno and why he was the winner of the week. And I have also another winner of the week, and that is McDonald's. And I think them putting the nutritional information in their stores, so you realize how much a Big Mac is and how much a fish fry is.
Saved me more than a few times.
What does that mean?
Knowing what the nutritional value is has kept me from ordering a few times.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, all these folks that say that they shouldn't do it, I mean, you know, I think it's crazy. I think it's positive. But, of course, the left says, well, they were forced to. It was the government that made them do that.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, I don't care who forced them or why they did what they did. I believe that the net-net is that it's good. It's good business for McDonald's because, and I think data shows that it did not affect sales. As a matter of fact, it increased sales on other products.
Putting up the calories and the nutritional information?
Absolutely. Well, you order different products. I remember going to Shea Stadium, mm-hmm. Citi Field about when it first opened up. Mm-hmm. And I was going to get the foot-long hot dog, and it was like 700 or 800 calories, and the regular hot dog was like 300.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, what? This is nuts. I mean, you got to do the small hot dog.
It's, you know, look, and I think now here's the difference. The difference between when you post the nutritional information, you are still leaving the option to the consumer. When you start banning drinks, all that other stuff.
Okay, and that's why I think New York City is the loser of the week.
Here we go. How good am I?
And boy, we didn't even have to coordinate that. New York City is the loser for banning soft drinks.
Yep.
Sizes of, I don't know, and if you're not familiar with it, folks, New York City, you can't order a sugary drink in a fast food restaurant larger than 16 ounces.
Right.
Okay, so now it doesn't mean that you can't go back for seconds,
right?
But you can't, you know. But
you can buy 3 8-ounce.
And so why? Okay, so why are they the loser? Well, look, it's about, you know, branding and marketing is about satisfying people's needs,
right?
And if people want to buy large drinks, they should be able to buy them. Right. I'm not saying there can't be a little sign that says, you know what you're doing, you know, a little intervention.
Right.
But people don't want to be told what to do.
Right.
When I decided to lose weight, all my life I was told that I should lose weight.
Right.
But it was only after John Tantillo said, John, you got to do something, otherwise you're going to die.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what happened. Right. All right? And that's what's, you know, people, external, they used to say external locus of control back when I was studying psychology. External versus internal.
Mm.
It's got to really, at one point, come internally if you're going to do this thing.
Hmm.
And my only wish, and I'm not blaming my parents on this, I just wish I would have been exposed to more healthy alternatives like your daughters are going to
Right.
be. That they get their McDonald's, they get their French fries, but they realize that there are carrots in the world and there are and there is hummus and there are better alternatives. And it doesn't mean that you can't every once in a while have a hamburger.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And how do you feel about this? 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. doc@brandtalkradio.com. We'd love to get you involved in the discussion. Okay,
it's about a nanny state. It's about giving the people information or telling them what to do. And at the same time, by the way, may I suggest, and I say this whilst you have a version of what I'm about to talk about in front of you. This rule does not apply to diet beverages, which many people opine are just as
Now you're getting me angry
because
I think that's a lot of
They say it's all chemically.
Yeah, well, that's the chemical Nazis. Chemical Nazis. I mean, that's I don't.
I mean, I can't imagine how.
I don't believe any of that.
I can't imagine how a Diet Coke could be nearly as dangerous as a regular Coke without the high fructose corn syrup alone.
Look, well, I think the data from my medical friends. Mm-hmm. In terms of the sugar, and I'm sure I'm going to get letters from the sugar lobby and the sugar people. I mean, sugar is probably worse than any chemical than you can do.
Well, because, especially high fructose, not necessarily pure cane sugar.
No, I think
really,
that, yeah,
really.
I think also the cane sugar.
Listen
too.
To
it's
me,
not
Mr.
Good.
Know-it-all.
No. It's well, yeah, because. It does something to the artery. It seems to do something to the arteries. It's probably even just as bad. Now, the research that's where it's going.
Okay.
But it seems to be just as bad as the cholesterol. That's what they're beginning to say and some of the research.
Boy.
So now the data isn't there, but that's what I'm catching from some of my friends. So the sugar thing is really bad. But I know there are people that say, I remember as a kid, saccharin. It was terrible. They put saccharin if you don't know what saccharin is, there were these little pills that were sugar substitutes that people,
horrible.
It was horrible, huh?
Wasn't it?
Well, I mean, I can't drink coffee with sugar in it. I have to have it. I don't like the way it tastes with the sugar. So I need my equal or whatever.
Really?
I
you only like coffee with the artificial?
I have gotten to that point. Wow. But every once in a while, I love a real Coca-Cola. I mean, I just love Coca-Cola or a Pepsi-Cola, but generally I'll go for the Coca-Cola.
I was always Coke, always. I like Diet Pepsi, and I did like Diet Coke when I was drinking because Diet Coke with rum is much better than regular Coke. That's too sweet.
I did not know that.
Coke, rum and Diet Coke, gang.
All right, I love Coke Zero. That's my favorite.
That's good.
Coke Zero. Talking about brands here. 914-636-0110. You may have a brand that you like. Give us a call or maybe talk about your own brand. But and another loser that I had last week, this really bothered me. Mm-hmm. And this is like the inmates running the asylum or the, it's the idea. It's part of our policy. You shouldn't be doing that, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was a Down syndrome child. Was asked to leave first class by the pilot, by the captain, because the captain felt that the child was too rambunctious or was out of control. And what happened there, and this was on American Airlines, so American Airlines was the brand there. And it seems that these airlines today are being a little bit too draconian and much
rigid.
Rigid. Oh, I was going to go for a 50 cent word. I was going to say Montnet, but but you got right down to it. I was going to show off my PhD, but anyway, it seems that what's going on here, and I guess I have to feel for them as well.
Mm-hmm. For American.
For the airlines, right, because they're under tremendous pressure. They got to worry about lawsuits.
Well, somebody's paying $5,000 to fly, you know, wherever they were going. Do you know where the flight was going?
I have no idea.
If it was transatlantic, it could have been $5,000 one way.
I know.
It's like, you know what?
You're not going to win.
You're not going to win with this one. I was, matter of fact, our flight back from England 4 days ago, we were surrounded by, in our seats, members of the British Special Olympic swimming team.
Uh-huh.
And I asked the girl behind us for her autograph.
Right.
Wonderful. And that's really interesting. And, I've flown in the nice seats.
Wait a minute. Now, the problem is that we are human beings.
Right.
And there's a certain amount of things that you have to put up with by being with other human beings.
Right.
Otherwise, if you don't want to put up with other human beings, stay at home.
Right.
Okay. And I just think it's the utmost in insensitivity when you have a Down syndrome kid and you're saying, well, I just don't want to be exposed to that.
Can I play absolute, almost embarrassingly amateur doctor here?
Sure.
Okay. I've had some time with Down syndrome kids. I spent some time when I was in school. Generally speaking, they are a very chill group of people.
Absolutely.
They are.
I work with them. Yes, I work with
gentle,
them.
Gentle. And now look, any that I believe, as far as I know, and you absolutely can correct me, a Down syndrome individual who happens to be rambunctious, that isn't necessarily their Down syndrome-ness. That would be another complication in their life. Down syndrome people, on the face of it being Down syndrome, tend to be very low-key, loving, emotional, gentle people.
Yes, absolutely.
So
I just think bad move, right?
Bad move. And also, since when does an airline care suddenly? Since when is service important on an airline anymore? You should have seen the look, John. You should have seen the look I got from this one guy.
Tell me how you really feel.
I just remember this. I go to the back of the plane. I know these people. I'm friends. I'm a million miler with American Airlines. And I asked one person in particular if they could do us a favor, and I'm going to turn that on. If they could do us a favor and let me and let my wife have about 10 minutes in one of the rows in the back of the plane for just her and the baby, so she can feed the baby. And they said, no, I'm sorry. That's our crew rest area. I said, well, how about when you're doing the food, could my wife go back there and just have 20 minutes quiet with the baby, and then she'll get out when you guys? It's in our contract. The guy tells me it's in our contract. Okay, you know, and so anyway, that's what we're dealing with. And now suddenly they're concerned about service, and so they're going to... Okay.
Well, yeah, okay. Give us a call, 914-636-0110. It's Brand Talk on WVOX, 1460 on your AM dial. And I'm going to do a shameless plug here, if you don't mind. You mind?
No, plug away.
Okay. On Saturday... September the 29th, I am going to be speaking at the New York Press Club Foundation Conference on Journalism.
Wow.
It goes from 8:30 in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I am going to be addressing how to get your name and your work known, or... for those of you who have a business, how do you get your business known? So if you like to get tickets for that, I believe it's $50. It's an all-day conference, and it starts at 8:30, and I will be doing the my shtick at 10:45. So that's one thing I just wanted to mention for those of you who are so interested or so inclined.
Saturday, September 29th. 9th at
8:30, and it's at NYU, and it is at the Kimmel Center, New York University, on West 4th Street at LaGuardia Place. So we'd love to see you there, and... and you'll have some real, our friend Ellis will be there speaking, and it should be, and you can go, if you go to their website, which is on Facebook, NewYorkPressClub.com, I think it is, you can find out and take a look and see what other grand things they're doing. But very, very interesting topics. A top brand, let's see, he's going to be on the 20th. Pete Hamill. I love him as a writer.
Mm.
I think Pete Hamill.
Yeah.
He wrote a book on Sinatra.
Old school.
Why Sinatra Matters. A great book.
Wow, that sounds good.
That's a Hamill. I mean, he's just a great guy. Yeah. I've never met him. I love to meet him. I really should go to that thing. I just love to meet him.
Yeah.
And just tell him how much I appreciate
it.
He's a great brand. Yeah. But anyway, this is Brand Talk. This is John Tantillo, TJ McCormick, and we're talking about brands here. So, anyway, Now we're going to come to TJ's favorite part of the show, which is Did You Know That? And Did You Know That is where little-known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and I dare say your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? Hedy Lamarr was one of the legendary beauties of Hollywood's golden age. MGM's dazzling star, who was responsible for Samson and Delilah, the highest-grossing movie of 1949, and decades of hits. But there were brains behind the beauty. You see, Hedy Lamarr had an interesting history before she reached the silver screen. Her first husband, Frederick Mandel, was a European arms manufacturer. Hedy was his arm candy. He forced her to accompany him to his every meeting. Eventually, she ran away to America, but what Mandel didn't realize was that Lamarr was listening and learning about the science of weapons, aided by her brilliant mathematical mind. On the eve of World War II, determined to help the Allies defeat the Germans, Lamarr and a composer friend had a revelation. Discussing the problems of how the enemy could jam radio-controlled torpedoes, they developed a sophisticated system to solve it that used the mechanics of the player piano. Unfortunately, the U.S. military dismissed their idea. Lamarr was just a starlet, after all. What could she possibly know? As it turned out, plenty. By 1962, the military had recognized Lamarr's smarts. Her idea was called frequency hopping. And it is a critical part of everything from cell phones to intercontinental missiles to your computer's wireless network. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
You got it.
We are back.
Where did you pull that one from?
Oh, I'm just one. What can I tell you?
What is the square footage of your vault of knowledge?
Where is your
vault out at Idlewild Airport?
Idlewild. Now, for those of you who don't know what Idlewild Airport is, that's JF Kennedy.
I know that you're such an old school guy that you wish they still called it Idlewild.
No.
I do.
I'd
like to go back about 40
really,
years
really. No, yeah. I don't have a problem with that. I
got no problem with Kennedy. I just think
I understand. Yeah. Even though I am a rare vintage wine, I mean, I'm pretty contemporary. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll never forget this.
A
friend of mine, by the way, this is Brand Talk, WVOX, 1460 on your AM dial, John Tantillo and TJ McCormick. I can remember my mom. Mm-hmm. Here we go. I'm going to get critics. You're always talking about your mother. You can't win in this business. But anyway.
That is twice this show.
Twice this show. I'm going to hear it. But she said to me, mm-hmm. I'll never forget this, that she felt that the movies in the present day movies were better than the movies mm-hmm. that she grew up with as a little girl. I couldn't believe she said that.
Wow.
Without a doubt. And I guess I share that. I really believe that the contemporary, the contemporary things that we do mm-hmm. And we listen to our culture is pretty good. Now, there are exceptions. I wish there were. Well, the closest we have, I think, to Sinatra, and I know I'm going to get, I'm going to get a heck for this, for saying this, is I think Bublé. Mm-hmm. He's the younger, he's the crossover generation or the closest, or even Harry Connick Jr. Mm-hmm. in terms of a sophistication there.
Okay.
But anyway, I just thought that I'd bring that up.
Hmm.
So there. And by the way, have you seen the new Katie show? Katie Couric?
That is one brand.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, you got to...
You know what? I'm going to say what my grandmother... You know, you're talking about... You all talk about my grandmother.
Okay, go ahead.
My grandmother, you know what? She can't make up her mind. Is she going to be a chirpy little... Or is she going to be a hard news journalist?
She's not a hard news journalist. She showed that she's not a
hard news... Right, she tried to be, though.
Well, why did she try to be? Because everybody was telling her that was her brand. She didn't know her brand. She... Now she's got it.
I can't look
at
her.
That's what you...
I can't look at her. Why? I can't look
now,
at
wait
it.
Wait a minute. Time out.
Because she's a 50-something-year-old woman trying to look like a chipmunky little cheerleader with her little cutesy Katie. John, her professional name is Katie. You know? She belongs on morning. You know?
She's not your demographic.
She's not my demographic. I can't take it seriously.
Okay. Okay. Well, and by the way, okay, let me be fair. The first show was a little bit like, the first two shows were a little difficult for me because she did more women's issues.
Okay.
She had this woman, this gal who lost her arms and legs.
Wow.
For the, she went on the... the sling there, and she lost
zip line.
The zip line. She lost, and she got a flesh eating virus.
Oh, the girl in Georgia.
Right. The Georgia
all
gal.
All four limbs.
Oh, incredible! And I mean, look, that was a moving story. Don't get me wrong,
sure.
But you know, I'm much more interested in more personalities. So anyway, so she had Heidi Klum on the other day, and it was an excellent interview. I mean, that's really what she did. She interviews very well. That's her brand.
Sure.
And she's not. My friend Frank has the same kind of criticism of Katie. There's something about her that I really like.
And you know what? That exact same thing is probably what I don't like. Or who knows? Or rather, there is exactly like you. There's one little thing that I just can't stand.
Sure. But if we get back to the Hedy Lamarr story, there's an example of innovation and why her brand, which was a starlet, how that interfered with her making the case in the 1940s. It was such a strong brand.
Right.
Much like Katie Couric's, she had this perky morning personality,
right?
And then she went on to hard news.
Uh-huh.
It just didn't work.
Right.
And so with Hedy Lamarr, she was a starlet, and she went to the Defense Department, right?
Right.
And she was going to go meet all these guys in Stars and Stripes,
right?
And medals. Making a decision. Well, what do you know about this stuff?
Mm.
And it was only later on in the 60s when she was no longer perceived as that, where she was able to break through and her innovations were appreciated. And I think that's very, very important. You know what it's like,
yes.
TJ?
Yes.
Here, great example.
Okay.
Touchtone Pictures. Mm-hmm. Who owns Touchtone Pictures?
Who owns CBS? Is that CBS now?
No.
Who owns Touchtone? Oh, wait. Alex Trebek?
No.
Oh,
no. Wise guy. Now cut that out.
No. You were doing to me while I try to figure. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to be funny.
Disney.
Disney owns Touchtone.
Disney.
So that's a branch.
So what I'm saying is you couldn't do a serious movie if it saw an adult movie if it had Disney on it. The brand is so strong. So what Disney decided to do is use another brand for more adult fiction.
Matter of fact, I knew this. I knew that. Yes, I knew that about that.
So what I'm trying to say here is that Hedy Lamarr's brand was so strong.
Right.
She probably shouldn't have called herself Hedy Lamarr. But but she used Hedy Lamarr to get her foot through the door.
Right.
But once she got through the door, she wouldn't be taken seriously.
Exactly.
So there should
She needed to be Hedy Lamarr to get in, but she needed to be
somebody else to get out.
She needed to be Bertha Rabinowitz to be taken seriously.
That's exactly correct. And you know, that's the secret of brand talk, and that's the secret of what we do here in branding. And you know, TJ.
Yes, sir.
Branding, you know, when people see me and they say, you know, I read your book and it makes so much sense. But you know what? Mm. This branding thing makes sense only after you think about it and apply it and actually do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, as sure. opposed to, oh, I knew that. Mm. Well, there's a lot of people that say they know it, but then they don't do it. You got to do it.
You got to do it.
You got to do it. And what I like to do here every week mm-hmm. between 5 and 6 mm-hmm. is to give us a way of doing it together,
hmm.
of sharing these ideas about your brand.
Right.
Whether or not it's personal or business, mm-hmm. and coming up with a plan that's going to make it work for you. And look at this as a journey.
Yeah, and we're here every week, Thursdays at 5, drive time, bringing you home every Thursday.
Yes.
And Thursday's the new Friday.
That's it.
You
that's
know?
Right.
And
yeah. Now, when you and I go out for dinner again very, very soon.
Probably next week.
Next week. There is a place that I went to that just, it's called 235th. And every young person mm-hmm. in New York City goes to this place.
235th. It's on 42nd
okay,
Street?
No, it's it's on 5th Avenue and 27th Street, I think.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And what you do is you go to the top.
Right.
And you see the Empire State Building and all the great buildings of downtown.
Ooh.
So what you want to do is go there. One
All
of these
right.
nights, we're going to go there, and then we'll share.
And if
it.
You go, tell them Tantillo sent you at the desk.
That's correct. But look, folks, another wonderful day. Can't say enough. And my saying of the day is the difference between success and failure is never giving up. See you next week.